Hi, dear listeners. Here we are at Karlovy Vary Film Festival. I'm Lida Bach, and I'll bring you another interview about a film that's running here at the festival. It's made by director and actress Sherin Dabris, who brings us the movie All That's Left of You. I have not seen it yet, Karlovy Vary, but at Sundance, where it had its premiere. It's a story that covers a theme that we all know, the issue of the Palestinian occupation by Israel. And you also are yourself American-Palestinian, so it's a story that's very close to your heart. How did you come to the idea to make this intense film about a family in Palestine?
You know, the film in some ways has always been with me. The story has always been with me. And I really wanted to, for many, many years, I've been wanting to tell a multi-generational family story about how we got to where we are today. You know, the story of how Palestinians became refugees. My father is a refugee. The story of how one family survives decades of political upheaval. And I always knew I wanted to do that. And it just took many, many years for me to figure out what form that story would take in a film, like what the structure would be, how I would tackle that. This is my third feature, and I don't think I could have made this any sooner because it was a big, really big story to tell. And I was inspired by many stories that I heard growing up, true stories of things that happened to my family, friends of the family. I always wondered why the world didn't know so many things about what happened to, you know, Palestinians, especially in 1948. And so I think that is the reason why I always wanted to tackle the story. And then there were things in my own life, you know, as a Palestinian American. I was born in the U.S. I grew up mostly in the U.S., but going back and forth to Jordan and sometimes Palestine as a kid. And so I, even though I didn't live under occupation, I visited occupation and I got windows into what life was like for my family who lived there and for Palestinians who lived there. And those windows really formed who I am. You know, I saw my father humiliated at borders and checkpoints. In fact, when I was 8 years old, the first time I remember traveling to Palestine was when I was eight, and we were held at the border for 12 hours. Everyone in my family was strip searched, including my baby sisters, age 3 and 1. And the soldiers, you know, my dad was humiliated. I just remember his face burning red with humiliation that we were all strip searched. And he confronted the soldiers to try to get them to not do that to us. And they screamed at him, and I thought they were going to kill him. And that moment stayed with me because it was the moment that I understood what it meant to be Palestinian. And it's really the moment that, in some ways, that memory inspired this film.
Was there also a certain fear to make such a story that's so close to you personally? Because you also act in it. So you are not only behind the camera, you're also in front of the camera. So it's a double challenge, but also to make the story, because I imagine that must be a huge feeling of responsibility to your people, your culture, your families.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate the question. I think that's why there's no way I could have tackled the story sooner in my career. Like, I really needed to wait until I felt I was ready. And I think in order to do it justice, I spent many years just immersing myself in Palestinian literature and history and cinema and just kind of educating myself on what was out there and really trying to understand what I was trying to do. And I spent a long time, you know, the structure of the film is one of the first things that came to me. I knew very quickly how I wanted to structure it. And then I think it was about surrounding myself with a lot of people who believed in the story and could help me really make it authentic. Even historians, I had historians read the script to make sure that it was 100% accurate. I brought in a Palestinian production designer who was very, very much into the details, Bashar Hassouneh, who did an amazing job. Every detail of the film is researched, from the set dressing in 1948, the artwork, the sofas, the textiles, because it's the first time that we see Palestine, urban Palestine in 1948. And, you know, the world has heard so much about what Palestinians lost or what Palestine, you know, they've seen so much Palestinian suffering, but they don't know why there's the suffering. They don't know what Palestinians lost or what we once had. So to be able to show that was a big responsibility, but it was also very joyful because it meant that we Palestinians got to really live what we once had. You know what I mean? Like, instead of really focusing on what we lost, it was like, let's build what we had and let's live in that for a moment. And then we see that at the beginning of the film. And I think it's really important for people to see that, to really understand what was lost.
I guess also that you see Palestinians just being themselves and being human and not always as the victim, but also just in everyday life. And I think that this image in every context of oppression, just seeing people as people is essential to for empathy.
100%. Absolutely.
At what point did you know that you would act in the film? Did you at any point look for an actor to play that role that you were finally take? And how did you know which role you would take?
Can I just make a comment quickly on what you said about empathy? Because I think you're so right. And I think that's really beautiful. Sadly, I think that, you know, Western media has dehumanized us so much. And film and television included, you know, Hollywood film and television especially, that we've gotten to a point where the world doesn't get to see that many depictions of Palestinian humanity, of Palestinians as just regular human beings. You know, we've seen only depictions of Palestinian victims or Palestinian violence, you know. And so I think that's really also one of the reasons I became a filmmaker, you know, because I saw that there was really a dearth of authentic Palestinian life and humanity represented in general in media. And it was really important to me to try to depict everyday, you know, Palestinian family, Palestinian life, like people really just trying to survive and live their lives in these really extreme, violent, you know, circumstances. And I think the word occupation is, you know, it's sometimes a very sanitized term. It's a very polite term. I don't think it really describes the violence that Palestinians experience every day.
Yeah, it kind of often sounds just like a background presence, like something that's
exactly
there, like the bad weather, but you're inside.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's too polite a term. It doesn't really give you that visceral feeling that Palestinians live with under occupation. But back to your question about my acting, it's funny because I don't think I ever, up until now, I've not ever planned to put myself in my films. And with this film especially, I think because I didn't grow up under occupation and Arabic is my second language. I mean, it was my first language as a kid, but I was educated in English. And so English became, you know, my first language. I think I was really hesitant and fearful to put myself in the film. So I did do a little bit of casting. I wanted to see, you know, if I could find someone who embodied the character and really lived the experience more. And then I realized that the experience was so much a part of me, that I did live it in some ways, that I lived with it, and that I understood it, and that I embodied the spirit of the character that I was looking for, the kind of the storyteller and the healer, the person who really wanted to share the story in order to bring healing to the family. And the person who brought a bit of a spiritual perspective and the person who was really grounded in that spirituality. Like, I realized that there were things that I shared with the character that in some ways were almost as important as the direct experience, and that I also had enough of that experience in me that I could play the part. So it did take some time for me to come to that decision. And I'm so grateful that I got to play the part in a way, because the character embodies, I think, parts of myself that I really wanted to explore and that I wanted to bring out more. So it was a gift. And it was a gift to play this part and to make this movie during this time. I think for everyone who worked on it, we all felt the beauty of being able to create during a time of such destruction, and to be able to have a container for our grief, and to be able to just throw ourselves into it with all of our love and our compassion and sometimes our anger, you know, to have that vehicle to transform all of that emotion into something that we could share with the world, you know, that we felt could be hopefully beneficial.
You also have Mohamed and Saleh Bakri, who are a father-son actor duo playing a father and son on screen. So it's a fantastic real-life dynamic from those two. How did you cast them and how did you get both of them?
Yeah, it was amazing. I actually have three Bakris. I did know them. I mean, of course, everyone knows them in Palestine and even beyond in the Arab world and really worldwide. So many people know them and are massive, massive fans. They're a huge acting family in Palestine. They're like an acting dynasty. I think there's six actors in the family.
It's like the Barrymore. So like,
it's amazing. And there's nothing, like there's no one else like them in Palestine as far as like this family, multi-generational actors within the family. And so it was my dream to get them. I've always wanted to work with them. I didn't realize I'd work with so many of them in one film, but when I realized like this is really an intergenerational portrait on screen, I thought the most compelling thing would be to also make it an intergenerational portrait off screen. And so it was just a matter of trying to figure out how to put that together, like who would play what, you know, what part. Of course, Mohamed Bakri, I always knew I wanted him for that role. So then it was figuring out which one is Saleh, which one is Adam. And when I first went out, actually, when I first went out to Saleh for the part, he wasn't available. And I was so heartbroken because I thought like, well, you know, he looks so much like his father. It would be so perfect. And I was like, so then I had to try to put it together a different way and it wasn't working. And then the other film that he was doing, you know, because of October the 7th, everyone's schedules got thrown off. You know, we were prepping in Palestine and we had to flee. We were 2 weeks away from shooting when we had to flee and we had to start completely over outside of Palestine. And, you know, it was really a huge trauma for everyone. And, you know, for the film, it was like the film lived what any Palestinian lives in that it like, you know, it endured war and exile and all of these things. But because of that event, Saleh became available. And so it was like almost through sheer luck, just that it ended up really working out for their schedules that I was able to get them all. Really, the whole, I feel like just the fact that the movie got made the way that it did is really miraculous, given all of the incredibly challenging circumstances that we had to navigate.
Was that the most challenging situations, or were there more situations that you would like to talk about where the real life conflict really interfered with what was or strongly influenced what was going on screen or on production?
Well, you know, it's amazing because it's so challenging to make any Palestinian film in Palestine because you're making a film in occupation, like in occupied territory. And so you're dealing with a lot of logistical challenges, you know, bringing people in and out of checkpoints. We wanted to shoot the movie all over Palestine. I mean, we were all over the West Bank, but all over Israel proper as well, like from Haifa to Yaffa, Tel Aviv, and then all over the West Bank from Nablus to Jericho to Ramallah. So we were having to move a lot in and out of checkpoints. And then we were also planning to shoot about 10% of the movie in Cyprus. So we were flying in and out. And anytime you fly Palestinians in and out, you're held at the airport, you're interrogated, you know, so there were many, many challenges with, you know, there were moments where I wasn't even sure they were going to let us back in. When we would leave, every time we'd leave, I'd be just riddled with anxiety, not knowing if we'd be able to get back. So there was all of that. And then, you know, I had been prepping on the ground with my crew for 5 months almost. And everyone from Germany came. You know, we were an official German-Cyprus co-production. So we had a lot of crew coming from Germany. And everyone arrived in early October of 2023. So we had just had a party in Ramallah to welcome them. We had just finished our tech recce, where you take everyone to every shooting location in the film. And you go through all of your shooting plans. It was a 3-day tech recce. And literally the next day, we woke up to the news of what happened on October the 7th, and then everything that happened after that. So in the aftermath of that, it became clear that everything was just going to escalate in such a massive way. And the German crew, of course, you know, wanted to leave immediately. And there were rumors that they were going to close off the West Bank. So then I was like, we need to get people out very quickly. And it became clear we weren't going to be able to shoot there. You know, it was became very difficult to move around. So it was, I think the most devastating part of that experience was leaving the Palestinian crew behind. You know, people who were so, they had worked on the movie for so hard for so many months. And they were so excited to make a historic Palestinian film. And we tried as best we could to bring them with us where we could, you know. But sometimes getting them out was really challenging. We had to try to get our props. We had amassed a huge warehouse of like beautifully curated, authentic props and set dressing from the different time periods of the film, 1948, the 1970s, the 1980s. We were trying to move things in and out. It was just really logistically hugely challenging. And then I found myself looking for Palestine everywhere but Palestine. Like literally looking for locations that looked like Palestine everywhere outside, you know, in Cyprus, in Jordan, and then eventually in Greece, where we finished shooting the film. And we had to stop and start many times because we didn't have money to keep going. And we also needed to find locations. And, you know, it was a very unusual process. But I'm just so grateful that we were able to keep going and that we were able to finish the film.
You also just mentioned the German production impact. Germany now has put its stance politically since Germany, and there's a lot of criticism also and a lot of demonstrations against that in Germany. The media is reporting very much pro-Israel.
That's right.
Support of Israel from the German government and also what German politicians say to support Israel. Like, how did that influence the production? Was there any pressure, for example, to change the story, or did they withdraw money? And how was the interaction with the German members of the crew?
The German crew were amazing and so committed. They were understandably fearful after what had happened. We were in Ramallah, which is, you know, quite close to Jerusalem and not too far from Tel Aviv. We were feeling the bombings and hearing the fighter jets. It was a scary environment. But they were, you know, in a way, so happy that they got to be there, be in the country, like to witness what was happening, to go in and out of the checkpoints, to get to see it. Of course, they were happy to get out just for their own safety, and their families were worried about them. But they were very, really expressed a tremendous amount of solidarity. And many of them came and continued the film with us. I would say most of them. In fact, I think maybe everyone but one person. And even the one or two people who didn't continue did so out of fear, but continued to express like love and solidarity for the film right now in the world, like really right now. And we had no idea of knowing, like no way of knowing how much more relevant the film would become in a way, right? And I would say even the German funds that supported us, they remained steadfast in their support, which was really heartening, you know? I mean, I think it was a little bit scary for the production team and I, after what happened, we weren't certain whether people would become fearful. And so it was really great. I think everyone understood that the film was going to become more important after what we saw happen.
So was there at any point in the production any pressure to change something, no matter from what side?
There wasn't, actually. There was no pressure to change anything. I felt some pressure, I funny enough, and it didn't come from anyone except for me. I felt some pressure that, to be honest, given everything that we started seeing, all of the images, all of the horrors coming out of Gaza, I started to feel pressure that perhaps the movie was too gentle. But then I realized that it was so important that the movie remain exactly as it is. And I also felt pressure that maybe the movie needs to speak to what's happening. And then I thought, no, it needs to be exactly as it is, because as it is, it's timeless. And what's happening now is just simply an escalation of what's been happening. And so I didn't want to change anything in the film. But I really did struggle for a little while, wondering if I needed to change the film and speak more directly to what was happening. And it was really something I really wrestled with. I think very lucky in a way that everyone really understood that the movie was just right as it was, and that it would just become more and more relevant, and that changing it was not necessary. And I really think that, because even when I wrestled with it, I started asking, everyone was really clear that the film shouldn't change.
Now that you finished this intense project, do you have something new you're working on, or do you need a break after that?
You know, I definitely needed a break once I finished shooting this. And I feel like I've kind of had it. You know, the film premiered at Sundance back in January. And so it's been really nice to have some time to process everything that happened while sharing the movie with audiences in Sundance and, you know, in other festivals that we've been to, and now here at Karlovy Vary. I feel ready to move on to my next project pretty soon, and I have some things that I'm exploring. So funny enough, I think one of my next films is a comedy.
That's a good change.
I really feel like I need that. I feel like I need just to immerse myself in some absurd humor after all of this.
So we will be certainly looking out for that film as well. All that's left of you is now still at Karlovy Vary, and I'm sure it will have a German release.
Yes, we do. We have a German distributor. It's Ex-Verleih.
Ex-Verleih.
They're releasing the movie in November.
You know, so just keep waiting for it in winter. Then you will have certainly the news on Movie Break that it's starting again, and you know that you can look forward to it. Thank you for the interview, Sharon.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was a pleasure.